Good morning, my friends and family. Welcome to Evangel. A lot going on this morning. God is good. Thank you for that word you gave this morning about the bride, because I'll be speaking about the bride this morning. And living water. That's cool. So Jeff's on vacation. He's with his family. So I get the privilege of speaking this morning. I think God was just doing some real cool stuff in the room this morning. I was just watching God just love on people. And that word that Annie had about anxiety, I just really, I saw that lift off the room this morning. I really did. I don't know if anybody raised their hand or anything, but I really believe that there was people that came in with anxiety this morning, and they're going to walk out set free from that. And so you don't have to worry or be anxious about things, because God will take care of us. So there was a country preacher who decided to skip services one Sunday to spend the day hiking in the wilderness. Rounding a sharp bend in the trail, he collided with a bear and was sent tumbling down a steep grade. He landed on a rock and broke his leg. With the ferocious bear charging at him from a distance, the preacher prayed, "Oh Lord, I'm so sorry for skipping services today. Please forgive me and answer this one prayer. Make a Christian now the bear that's coming at me." It's a good prayer. At that very instance, the bear skidded to a halt, fell on his knees, clasped his paws together, and began to pray aloud at the preacher's feet. "Dear God, please bless this food I'm about to receive." Hallelujah. Yeah, true story. True story. According to Google. So anyways, let me just pray for a minute. Lord, I just said thank you for this morning. I thank you for letting us be a part of a body. I thank you for letting us worship in this house, Lord. I thank you for my friends, my family. I thank you for the goodness and kindness that you give us every day, Lord, the grace and peace. Lord, I pray that you open up our hearts to receive wisdom and revelation and deeper knowledge of you and understand intimacy and your great love for us. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm here this morning to encourage you, to empower you, to uplift you, to hopefully equip you to walk in the will of God for your life. That's what preaching's all about, isn't it? It's to encourage and uplift. So let's take a look at Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11 through 16. It says, "Now these are the gifts that Christ gave the church, the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, and the pastors and teachers. Their responsibility is to equip God's people to do the work and build up the church, the body of Christ. This will continue until we all come to such unity in our faith and knowledge of God's Son that we will be mature in the Lord, measuring up to the full and complete standards of Christ. Then we will no longer be immature like children. We won't be tossed and blown about by every wind of new teaching. We will not be influenced when people try to trick us with lies so clever that they sound like the truth. Instead, we will speak the truth in love, growing in every way more and more like Christ, who is the head of his body, the church. He makes the whole body fit together perfectly as each part does its own special work. It helps the other parts grow so that the whole body is healthy and growing and full of love." That is a beautiful piece of scripture right there. There's so much in there. There's so much in there. It's so deep. That has been our focus on Wednesday nights, to help equip and build up the body of Christ. So we decided to, you know, give people opportunity to get up here and just listen to God's voice and see what God's sharing with them and how they can build up the body, and also gives us an opportunity to build them up and encourage them as well. We're doing what the scripture says, and it's all based around Ephesians 4 on Wednesday nights, and we gather today and do the same thing as well. Jeff read the scripture last week, and he's studied some of this stuff, and out of that came that whole school of encouragement, if you were here last week, and that's pretty cool, because what better than to just encourage one another, yeah, and just build each other up in Christ. The body is a beautiful thing. When the body can be walking in unity and growing in full love, when the body walks in unity and is growing in full love, then the body will be walking in unity with the Spirit. Let me say that again. So when the body is walking in unity with each other, we will be unified with the Holy Spirit. The church will be unified with the Spirit. This is not a solo quest, you know, a Lone Ranger adventure. This is a team thing, right? It's a body thing. Each part is important, every single part. And we grow in love. We grow in unity. The ultimate aim of such Christian unity is to glorify God. This is out of, Paul says this in Romans 15, 5 through 7. He says, may the God of endurance and encouragement grant you to live in such harmony with one another in accord with Christ Jesus, that together you may with one voice glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, welcome one another as Christ has welcomed you for the glory of God. So when the church is walking in unity, it is to glorify the Father. He gets to take the credit for it, right? It's all to glorify him. And when God's glorified by the body walking in unity and in love, sometimes it's the only Bible that people will ever see is you and me, right? So they get this picture of what love is, what unity is in the church. And sometimes that's the only Bible they're ever going to see is us at work or out in the marketplace or wherever we're at. Sometimes maybe somebody won't ever pick up a Bible, but they're going to see how you live your life, you know? Dan brought me this bottle of water this morning, and it's the purified drinking water. And I believe it was a prophetic act, but to be purified is to be spotless, you know, to be removed of anything that's filthy, anything that shouldn't be there. It's removed. And the Lord purifies us, right? We go through a purification process. And to purify water, I actually looked it up, and it said there's like a 12-step process to purify water. And you can drink this water, and it will quench your thirst, but only for a short time, will it? You're going to be thirsty again, right? The woman at the well, Jesus said, there's living water that I can give you, and you will thirst no more, right? So when we drink from him the living water, the pure living water, we will never thirst again. And we can have that opportunity to drink the pure water, but oftentimes we choose to drink the bottled water, but then we're thirsty again. So we can be pure, we can be holy, as God is holy. It's in the word, that's what it says. Purified bride, ready for him. How you guys doing out there? Okay. Hey, how's it going, man? I came up and chopped wood with you. Yeah. How's it going? I'm glad you're here. Good to see you. So here's a quote by John Piper here. Maybe. Okay, John Piper. He says this. Unity among two or more people gets the virtue entirely from something else. Unity itself is neutral until it is given goodness or badness by something else. So if Herod and Pilate are unified by their own common score in Jesus, then So if Herod and Pilate are unified by their common scorn for Jesus, this is not a good unity. But if Paul and Silas sing together in prison, for Christ's sake, this is a good unity. Therefore, if it is never enough to call Christians to have unity, that may be good or bad. The unified vote 50 years ago in my home church in South Carolina to four big blacks from attending services was not a good unity. The unified vote of a mainline Protestant denomination to bless forbidden sexual acts is not a good unity. Christian unity includes affectionate love, not just sacrifice for those you don't like. So unity, when we cry out for unity, you can be unified, but that doesn't necessarily mean it's a good unity. So the body of Christ has to look at what the Bible says and what the scripture says about what unity is, right? We can all agree on something, but if it's not of God, it's not good unity. And so we're seeking for good unity, Christ's unity, and we unify with the Spirit. When we're unified with the Spirit, then we're unified with God's plan. Amen. In Revelation 22:16, it says this, I, Jesus, have sent my angel to testify to you about these things for the churches. I am the root and descendant of David, the bright and morning star. The Spirit and the bride say, come. And let the one who hears say, come. And let the one who is thirsty come. And let the one who desires take the water of life without price. The Holy Spirit and the bride are unified. And they say, come, Lord Jesus. It's coming a time when we're going to unify with the Spirit, the bride, and we're going to cry out for the return of Jesus, the bridegroom. This bridal paradigm, this bridal understanding of how the church looks, doesn't, maybe some people never look at it that way, but it's all over throughout the scriptures that we are the bride of Christ. And some people struggle with that and they don't understand it. We can be a son or a child of God or, you know, many other things, but there's not a lot of talk about the bride. Now, probably more today than there was back years ago, but this bridal understanding, Mike Bickle preaches about it all the time. He does a great job. But to get a revelation and understanding of the bride of Christ is a beautiful thing. And I hope that I can give you some insight on that this morning, which you probably already know, but like I said, I'm not telling you anything mostly you don't already know, but just here to encourage you and to love on you and that you guys love me. Because what are we preparing for? What is this all about? What is Jesus coming back for? He's come back for his bride. And so that's what it's all about. It's about a wedding, right? It's about a wedding. We're going to a wedding. And some, you know, men might think, well, I'm not putting on a dress. But it's not like that. It's insight on God's heart and his love and his emotion for us. And that's a beautiful thing. When God says, I love you, it's deeper than the love that we can experience in any human way. It's a greater love than we can understand completely, but someday we will get it all. So the closer we get to Jesus' return, he wants us to walk out the first commandment. And the first and greatest commandment, you know, when they asked him what was the first and greatest commandment, we all know is to love the Lord your God with all your heart and soul and mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. So if he wants to establish the first commandment in the first place in our lives, what is that going to look like when we're a bride who's completely in love with the Father, with the bridegroom, with each other, when we're walking and growing in love and unity, unity with Holy Spirit, crying out for, come, Lord Jesus, come, Maranatha. It's a beautiful thing, man. It's all for something, you know. It's like I said earlier, it's not going to be a solo thing. It's not going to be a by yourself doing this thing at home. I don't need no church, and I don't need no people in my life. If you don't love people, then you're not doing it right. Because that's the most important thing, right? God loves people. And sometimes we just like, well, I don't want to be around people. But that's how you grow in love. How are you going to be unified if there's not other people to be unified with? How are you all going to agree on something if there's nobody in the room? You can agree with yourself. But you're going to be thirsty again if you're not drinking the living water. So, yeah. So, how you guys feeling out there? Like, really, I looked around this morning, I just saw this beautiful, just his presence just resting on this place, and this just people loving on each other, and just really just a peaceful presence. And sometimes I get all excited, and I used to do a lot of shouting and yelling, and I've calmed down over the years, but I don't know, man. I'm looking at you guys this morning. I'm just feeling it, you know. I'm feeling like there's a connection. I'm feeling like we're not just, you know, we have a relationship in love in this body. And it's cool because I can get up here and do this. I'm not qualified to do this. You know what I'm saying? There's an empty spot, so I filled it. But I'm just sharing from my heart. And I was cool that you guys have the grace for me to do this, you know? Because you're my friends and you're my family. And I can open up my heart before you. And I can look at my notes and I can read off of my notes. But it's not even about that. It's just about communicating what the Lord has. So I hope that I can communicate his heart this morning for you guys. And I just really been just looking into this whole bridal thing, and it's just an amazing picture of what the church is going to look like. And we're in this process of this purification, you know, and it's so beautiful. It's so beautiful, the love. So I got this little video clip here. So check this out. This is a marriage. Granted, this is an arranged marriage. This is not what our marriage is going to look like.
Marriage. Marriage is what brings us together today. Marriage, that blessed arrangement. That dream within a dream.
Daniel Brown. Don't they look so happy?
Then love, true love, will follow you forever.
So treasure your love.
Skip to the end.
Have you the wind?
Here comes my Wesley now.
Your Wesley is dead. I killed him myself.
Then why is there fear behind your eyes?
Under you, Princess Bahua.
Man and wife. Say man and wife.
Man and wife.
Escort the bride to the honeymoon suite. I'll be there shortly.
He didn't come.
That is not what it's going to be like. We have something greater to look forward to. Aren't you glad that Jesus is coming back? He didn't come. I love that clip. I could watch that over and over. The good old Princess Bride. But that's an arranged marriage, you know? That bride does not want to be with that bridegroom. That was the last place. She's in love with Wesley. Not Prince Humperdinck. But anyways, there's a point to that. Let's see. Put it in. Christ loves us. He's the bridegroom and we are the bride. And the love that he has for us is it's a voluntary love, right? We choose to love him. He didn't create us and force us into love. It's a voluntary love. It's a choice. If love doesn't have a choice, it's not love, right? Love lets us choose, and we choose to be with Christ, you know? Yeah, Buttercup, sorry, Princess Buttercup. But she ends up with Wesley, so don't worry. So that's a good picture of what it's not like. Because maybe we look at the Bible and we're like, well, what's a wedding? We're going to a wedding. No, this is a beautiful wedding, you know, and it's not a forced wedding. It's a choice. It's a voluntary thing. Because God is good and he has a plan. The Spirit's primary agenda in the end times is to help the bride to be ready for the wedding. This bridal identity is a position that gives us access to the heart of God and his emotions. The church is identified as a bride. We are preparing for the return of Jesus. It's going to be a wedding. There's going to be a marriage supper of the Lamb. We're going to be a pure and spotless bride made ready for him one day. Amen. Revelation 16:9 says, "Then I heard what it seemed to be a voice of a great multitude, like the roar of many waters, and like the sound of mighty peals of thunder, crying out, 'Hallelujah, for the Lord our God Almighty reigns. Let us rejoice and exalt and give him the glory, for the marriage of the Lamb has come, and the bride has made herself ready. It was granted for her to clothe herself with fine linen, bright and pure, for the fine linen is the righteous deeds of the saints.' And the angel said to me, 'Write this, blessed are those who are invited to the marriage supper of the Lamb.' And he said to me, 'There are true words. These are the true words of God.'" That's powerful. This bridal paradigm is a true thing. It's really going to happen. I don't think this is an analogy. You know, this is true. This is literal. He loves us, beloved. This is going to empower us, right? In a way that we've never seen before. Because if you understand how much God loves you, you can express his love for others, right? And it will radically transform you. When I first started studying this message of love, it was a really hard thing for me. And to see God as the God of love, you know? Like, I understood God the authority figure. I understood God the judge. But I really had a hard time with the whole love thing. And he really had to radically transform me. And he has, and he's softened my heart. Now I cry when I watch movies. Except for the Rampage movie. Have you seen that, the monkey movie? We watched that last night, and Nina was crying. I was sleeping, and I woke up, and she's crying. I'm like, what is going on? It's about a big monkey. She was crying about the gorilla. I'm like, what, you cried over a gorilla? Anyways, because she has a soft heart. She has emotions. Emotions are a good thing. I was very emotionless when we first got married. I didn't have very many emotions at all. It was either like happy or mad. But God's really healed me from that. So the more you study the emotions of God, your emotions will start to connect with his emotions, and you'll start to let him purify you. You know, I got my Germex here, and I got my Altoids here. This is to get rid of the germs. In case I'm thirsty, this is in my bad breath. We can prepare all we want with worldly things and have anxiety and fear about all these other things, or fear we're going to get sick, so we use Germex, right? I was just showing an example of what some people struggle with. That's because I'm a garbage man. I'm around a lot of stuff. But we do. We live in this fear of, like, all this stuff's going to get us, you know? And that's what causes anxiety. Because we're worried we're going to get sick. We're worried we're not going to have enough water and get dehydrated and get a bladder infection and have to go to the hospital and pay our deductible that's way too much. And then get a bill in the mail later and can't pay it. Anyway, but we don't have to live like that. Man, doesn't even fit in my teaching, does it? It's somewhere in here. The bride. We are his bride. He loves us so much. We don't have to worry about those things. Where was I? Okay, I got another slide here. Here we go. You guys are awesome. I love being up here with you guys. So check this out. This is cool. So, this is powerful. It's pretty long, but there's a lot in there. So, let's see if I can get through this. I just ask that you guys just open up your hearts and listen to this here, okay? I'll probably stumble through it, though. So, Holy Spirit searches the deep things of God. 1 Corinthians 2, 7 through 16. The wisdom we speak of is the mystery of God. His plan that was previously hidden, even though he made it for our ultimate glory before the world began. But the rulers of this world have not understood it. If they had, they would not have crucified our glorious Lord. That is what the scriptures mean when they say, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, and no mind can imagine what God has prepared for those who love him. He has something amazing prepared for us, beloved. But it was to us that God revealed these things by his Spirit. For his Spirit searches out everything and shows us God's deep secrets. Man, that's in the Bible. Did you know that? That's amazing. But it was that God revealed these things by his Spirit, for his Spirit searches out everything and shows us God's deep secrets. No one can know a person's thoughts except for the person's own spirit, and no one can know God's thoughts except for God's own spirit. And we have received God's Spirit so that we can know the wonderful things that God has freely given us. Right? When we receive his Spirit, he speaks to us and reveals these things to us. When we tell you these things, we do not use words for that come from human wisdom. Instead, we speak words given to us by the Spirit, using the Spirit's words to explain spiritual truths. But people who aren't spiritual can't receive these truths from the God Spirit. It all sounds like foolishness to them, and they can't understand it. For only those who are spiritual can understand what the Spirit means. Those who are spiritual can evaluate all things, but they themselves cannot be evaluated by others. For who can know the Lord's thoughts? Who knows enough to teach him? But we, beloved, the bride, understands these things, for we have the mind of Christ. Man, that's powerful stuff. Did you get that? Holy Spirit living inside of you, teaching you the secrets of God's heart, revealing these things to us. Man, isn't that awesome? What's the revelation he's given us this morning? What's the revelation he gave us last night? They're deep secrets. The world says, you guys are weird. If they walked in here and said, you're getting married to what? They would probably think we're crazy. But we get it. We get it because we understand what the Word of God says. That we're preparing for a wedding, the marriage supper of the Lamb. Right? But the world doesn't get it. But we have an opportunity to explain it to the world when they don't understand it. Right? Because who gets the glory? God gets the glory. We walk it out. We're purified bride. Right? We can be an example for others to see. Yeah, that's good stuff, man. One day Jesus is coming back. We know that. We know that he left, and we know that he's coming back to rapture the church one day. And he's not coming back to rapture us. It's not for a rescue mission. He's coming back to prepare us for a wedding. He's coming back to get his bride to take us to a wedding, right? When you see it like that, it's like, wow, that's beautiful. It's beautiful. It's beautiful. It's to take us to a wedding day. Jesus himself talks about this in Matthew. He says, the disciples came to him saying, disciples of John came to him saying, why do we and the Pharisees fast, but your disciples do not fast? And Jesus said to them, can the wedding guests mourn as long as the bridegroom is with them? The days will come when the bridegroom is taken away, and then they will fast. So Jesus gives this little snippet of truth here about him being a bridegroom, doesn't he? Because he says, they don't have to fast because I'm right here. And the bridegroom's with them right now. But one day when I'm gone, I'm taken away, then they will fast. Right? And then he'll come back one day. So there's some more truth that Jesus speaks about this whole bridegroom paradigm. We know that Jesus is a king with power. He's also a judge, but he's a bridegroom with desire. Yeah? He's a bridegroom with desire. He judges with love, right? He wants to remove the things in our life that hinder his love for us. So he's not judging us out of punishment. He's judging us to get that thing out of the way so he can love us greater, right? And when we understand that concept, it can change our hearts, right? Because he's like, I just want to love you. And I'm going to remove these things that get in the way so we can love on a greater level. Right? If anybody's been married, they know what that's like. That you got to get some stuff out of the way in order to love each other deeper. So he never does anything contrary to love, because he is love, right? And that's what I was saying. When he judges out of love. And A.W. Tozier says, God does not suspend one attribute to exercise another. All of his attributes are one, right? So all of his attributes are one. He doesn't suspend one. He doesn't put one aside and say, well, today I'm going to be God the judge and just be a mean guy. He's a righteous judge. Or today I'm just going to be, God the Father and not this. You know, so he's all of his attributes are one. You know, so he's always the God of love in everything that he does. It's cool. A.W. Tozier, Knowledge of the Holy. You guys reading that book? Anybody? That was on one of Jess' recommended reads. That's a great book. Knowledge of the Holy by A.W. Tozier. I think Leah's read that book like 10 times. She loves that book. Jesus is not an angry bridegroom who's going to force himself upon us like Prince Humperdinck. Love requires a choice. He's not going to force himself upon us. He's a gentleman. Holy Spirit's a gentleman. Sometimes not so much. Sometimes we just have to surrender. I occasionally have an angry bride. Things don't work out so well. When my bride is angry, we're not walking in unity. Yeah. We went camping a while ago, and we were trying to take down the tent, and she was angry. Don't try to take down a tent when you're angry. Doesn't go so well. We don't walk in unity so well when we're trying to take down a tent. You know, I'm like, just let me help you. No, get away from me. Okay. I didn't do anything. I was like, it wasn't my fault. I can say that because I have the microphone up front. But yeah, and that's how the church can be, you know, when we're not walking in unity and we're bickering with each other. It's really hard to accomplish one task, right? A simple task of folding up a tent can be just a nightmare if you're not walking in unity and love and growing in love. And it worked out because I just told her how pretty she was and how much I loved her. That usually helps. But then we were out in the boat, right? We went on I got another boat story. I always got boat stories. We were at Silver Lake, and we went on a boat, and we took Grandpa's boat out there, and we took the little kids out there. We had Judah, who's 6, Barak, who's 4, Ethan, who's 9, and we were fishing, we were in a good fishing spot. Well, we weren't catching any fish, but we were gonna. So Nina's like, we need to go over there, so I went over there, and we're drifting, and all of a sudden, we're just like, what the heck was that? And we got stuck on a piling. There's pilings going through Silver Lake. Did you see those big pilings out there? I didn't see them, but I got stuck on one. And before you know it, we're trying to rock the boat, and Nina's screaming, and the kids were like freaking out. Poor Ethan's like, I want to go back. And I'm like, calm down, everybody, calm down. I got this. And there was water like on the side, and she thought it was like water was coming in the boat. She's like, we're sinking. I'm like, no, we're not sinking. Calm down. So that's what my bride does. And I had to try to calm her down. And then I started getting a little stressed out because they were stressing out. And we had to get an oar and push the boat off. And you know what she does? She calls her dad. Like I couldn't handle it. Come on. I'm the husband here. I can handle this. Because her dad was fishing in the lake too, but he was on the other side of the lake with the other boys. And I'm like, you don't need to call your dad. I got this. Anyways, does this make sense? Does this fit into my... I got to stop now. I'm in trouble. It was good. We got free, and we didn't damage the boat that much. And we were safe. We were safe and sound. But that's kind of what it can be like sometimes, right? We, as the bride, can get so overwhelmed and so stressed out, but that we don't trust the Father. We don't trust the bridegroom, you know? That we put our trust in ourselves, and we're trying to like, and everything's going. He's like, just calm down. It's going to be okay. I got this, you know? And that's a good picture of what sometimes that bridegroom and bride relationship can look like. Don't be mad at me, honey. I'm sorry. I didn't ask permission to share any of that. I'm in trouble now. So I got lots of notes here, but not a lot of time. So let's see here. Where should we go next? I'm going to get hung. So I got to make this thing last quite a while because I'm safe when I'm up here. You guys got any plans today? Oh, so check this out. Okay, I got something here. I really do. Okay, so check this out in Ephesians. This is good stuff. Ephesians 3:16. I pray, this is Paul speaking, I pray that the glorious and limited resources will empower you in your inner strength through the Spirit. Then Christ will make his home in your hearts as you trust in him. Your roots will go down into God's love and keeping you strong. And may you have the power to understand, as all God's people should, how wide, how long, how high, and how deep his love is. His love. May you experience the love of Christ though that it is too great to understand fully. Then you will be made complete with the fullness of life and the power that comes from God. Man, the depths, the heights, and how wide his love is for us. May you experience, that's my prayer for us this morning, that we may experience that. You know, in John 17, Jesus says his final prayer before he's taken away. We all know the prayer. Here, this is a beautiful picture of what the Father and Son walking in unity with each other. Jesus says this in John 17:20. He says, I am praying not only for these disciples, but also for all who will ever believe me through this message. I pray that they will all be one, just as you and I are one. As you are in me, Father, I am in you. I got a slide, actually. I forgot. I am in you. Where was I? No, I got lost. I am in you, and may they be in us, that the world will believe you sent me. I have given them the glory you gave me, so they may be one as we are one. So Jesus is asking the Father, I want them to experience the unity that I have with you. I want them to experience it as well. It goes on, I am in them and you are in me. May they experience such perfect unity that the world will know that you sent me and that you love me as much, and you love them as much as you love me. Father, I want these whom you have given me with me where I am. Then they can see all the glory you gave me because you loved me before the world began. Check this out. The Father loves us like he loves his Son Jesus, right? And Jesus loves us like the Father loves him. And he wants us to all walk in the same unity that he has with the Father. So when he says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, why does he say that? Because he loves us with all of his soul, mind, and strength. Yeah? So when you receive the love that the Father has for you with all your soul, mind, and strength, you love him back, right? And then there's this overflowing thing that happens when the love flows out of you, and then you can love your neighbor as you do love yourself, right? It's this cool picture of what Jesus asked the Father before he left the earth. Out of all the things he could have asked, that's what he wanted. He wanted love. He wanted the church to love each other the way God loves him, to walk in unity between the Father and the Son walk in unity. And he wants, that's how much the passion and desire and the emotions of God, his heart for the bride, which is you, beloved, the bride of Christ, right? That's a beautiful, beautiful picture of love. And we, like I said earlier, when we walk in unity as the body, and then we walk in unity as a spirit, with the spirit and the bride can walk in unity with each other and all agree and ask for Jesus to come. Right? That's a powerful thing, to be walking in unity with the Holy Spirit. Not individually, that is important, but corporately is a big deal, because we are the bride. We are the bride of Christ. Yeah. And there's a great parable in Matthew 22 about the wedding feast that Jesus talks about. Does it matter if we prepare for this? Some people are like, you know, I don't really care about eschatology, end time stuff, revelation. I don't even touch it. You know, you hear that stuff all the time. It just freaks me out. I don't get it. It's a simple gospel. It's a simple message. God loves us, and he's coming back for his bride. Right? That's as easy as that. I mean, it does. I mean, should we prepare? What do we do? I mean, I don't even know how many years back, you know, Jeff Godparent said, we're just going to prepare for the return of Jesus. And we've been doing that ever since. We're just constantly preparing for Jesus to return. How can you go wrong with that? But the cool thing about that is, when I got married, there was a lot of preparation that had to take place. And that's what's going on in the church today, right? And that's what we looked at this morning, as we looked at this preparation that God's preparing the bride for a wedding day. And you do need to prepare. We do need to prepare. We need to get ready for Christ to return. And earlier I was reading, it said the saints will be rewarded for their deeds. Yeah? People don't want to hear that. Oh, rewards. But there's a lot of talk about rewards in the Bible, about how we live our lives, right? The crowns and how we receive that. And there's going to come a day where our deeds are important, and what we did with our life does matter, right? And whether we prepared our hearts for him or not, it just is going to make a difference. It's not going to stop us from getting into the kingdom, whether we, you know, went out on the street and evangelized or not. You know, Patrick did a great job facilitating that last week. That was cool. Well, there's some cool testimonies out of that. Yeah. The kids aren't out here yet. So, yeah, I believe that it is important that we prepare. Oh, and here's another important thing to look at, because if you go on deeper in Revelation, there's this thing called the Harlot Babylon. And the Harlot Babylon system is an economic, political system that's going to come as a counterfeit bride. And we have to have our hearts prepared for him and be in the right place, because when the counterfeit comes along, we can't be distracted by those things, right? The Bible's very clear about in Revelation about the harlot who sits on many waters, and the kings who are going to be walking in lust. And our hearts can only be given to the one and true God. Our hearts can only be for one. We live before an audience of one. They're going to come a day when people are going to want to know why we do what we do. You know, when everybody else is following this counterfeit system, they're going to ask, why won't you? You know, we're going to have those answers one day, right? Possibly, possibly not, but at least we can be prepared. We can be in a position where our hearts are prepared for anything that comes at us. You know, when we have a relationship and intimacy with God, when we drink the living water instead of the bottled water, we will never thirst again. He's coming back for a pure and spotless, glorious bride, it says in Ephesians 5. So here's some things that I think that we need to overcome and watch out for as we move forward ahead. So I believe that fear is something that can take us out. I believe that having a fence can destroy unity within the body. And I think that lust and deception are going to be huge as we move forward. And so we don't want to even mess around with that stuff. I mean, just think, the whole lust thing. I mean, sheesh, they're now talking about, what is it? AR pornography or something like that? Augmented reality pornography? Just crazy stuff. You know, what are people going to give their hearts to? Are they going to give their hearts to the bridegroom? So these are the things that can come against the church. They come against the bride. This, you know, we're in the process of being purified, remember? A spotless bride. So let your light shine. Let Christ work in you. Let Christ purify you. Let Christ show you and reveal himself as a bridegroom this morning. I pray that if there's any doubt in our minds about how much God loves us, that would be gone this morning. That there would be no more fear about what tomorrow may bring. I pray that there would be a peace. Your presence would go with us, Lord. I thank you for the opportunity to walk together with such a beautiful people. Lord, I just thank you. I thank you that you love us so much, that you gave your one and only Son, that one day we will be married to you. One day we will be swept away. We're going to a wedding. There's going to be a wedding and the marriage supper of the Lamb. Is there anybody that wants to share a short testimony of how God's love has transformed their life? Is there anybody in this room that would like to share just something that you can look at in your life where this is the moment when I experienced God's love in such a great way that it's transformed my life? Because I believe there's power in testimony. I know there's quite a few testimonies in this room, but I just would like somebody to share. Does that make any sense? Something that they can look at and say, this is the moment when God's love transformed me, and I know it without a doubt. Anybody? Your volunteers? Everybody's got a story. I know they do. Randy? You got something for us? Oh, he's got to go. I don't want to get you in trouble. Just tell.
Yeah. It's too late.
I'm sorry.
No. I'm in a wheelchair because they're ulcers on my toes and feet, and the doctors they weren't very kind when they looked at them. They said, yeah, we're probably going to have to amputate something. And, of course, Pam and I's reaction was, oh, God, no. And so this was about a year ago, and it got worse and worse and worse and worse until just 3-4 months ago. And all of a sudden, things started healing on my toes. And I can't say it's for no reason, because you guys prayed for me. There was it wasn't the last time I was in the hospital, but a couple times ago. Unfortunately, I've been in the hospital a lot. And I didn't do well. It was an operation, and I almost didn't make it. And whatever happened, that I remember coming to, and I felt horrible. The next day, I felt great. I mean, I felt like God had touched me, and I wanted to go home because I felt great. They wouldn't let me go home. But the thing is that something happened from that point on, I believe, that I started getting better as far as my feet, as far as circulation, as far as my ulcers. I still have, out of all the ulcers, I had them on every toe. All of them have cleared up, except for there's a big one on the bottom of my right foot that is smaller now. And the doctor, for the first time I can ever remember, he was very, very, yeah, that's going to be fine. You're going to be fine. And I'm looking at him like, he's never said that before. And I just, what? Are you kidding me? This is wonderful. Well, and so you start, I'm sitting at home thinking, I'm not going to need this chair much longer. I mean, I'm kind of in the mode of, you know, how do you live with the chair kind of thing. And all of a sudden, I'm starting to get in the mode of, oh my gosh, there's healing. Now, I got a lot more things for God to heal than that. I mean, that's just a small thing. But it is a huge thing in many ways. So anyway, I just want to thank you guys for your prayers and for just continuing to pray. Your kids in school, in church school, whatever you call it, they have been so incredibly. Today they asked them to pray for me, and they all stood up and came over. I don't know how many of them they pulled over there. I'm not sure. I didn't see anybody pulling anybody. There might have been a couple, though. But all I know is that they were all up, and they were all praying for me. And I'm telling you, that makes a difference. Your kids have done an incredible service to me. God has used them in my life. And I just want to praise God and thank him for it and thank him for you guys. Thank you for this church and for what God has for us. I do know that he's a God of miracles, and I do know he's not done, and I do know he still has incredible strength that we can't even imagine. Sometimes it doesn't go like we think. It never goes like what we think. But every now and then, something happens that's better than what we thought. I imagine if we could look on it from heaven's point of view, it's all better. It's all better. Everything's better. But from our point of view, some things aren't so good, you know. So anyway, I'm just thankful and want to thank you guys.
Yeah. You got to go.
Yeah.
I love you, man.
Love you, too. Thank you.
Dude, I was just thinking about my son, Ethan, because you guys were talking about that earlier, sharing that story about my son, Ethan. And I was thinking, man, when my son got hurt, oh, it was so painful to watch him suffer. Isn't that how the God the Father is up above? When he sees us going through stuff, he's so compassionate for his children. And he doesn't want us to suffer, and he wants us to all be healed and set free. And when the kids on it, seriously, like the kids prayed for him on Wednesday. His burn was so bad. It was on Wednesday. And then Thursday morning, the next day, it was like brand new skin. I mean, I'm telling you, it was, I mean, there's still evidence of it, but it was like day and night difference. And it was amazing. And it just grabbed my heart because God is so good to that. He loves us so much like that. So I guess you guys can get out of here and thanks for loving on me, and thanks for being a body that's so awesome and walking in unity.